This is a Jazz Online original podcast.
Featured on this episode is guitarist Stanley Jordan, who talks about George Benson.
My first recollections of George Benson were from age 10, because I went to a jazz festival. It was a three-day jazz festival called the Nairobi Jazz Festival. I lived in Palo Alto, California, and they had this wonderful festival, and my father took me there the first day, and he appreciated the music, but not like I did. And after a while, he could see that I was safe, and he just left me there. So I basically, he just dropped me off in the morning and then picked me up at the end of the day. And so for 3 days, I was like in jazz heaven, you know. And at the time, I was a piano player. I hadn't started playing guitar yet. And so I wasn't really paying a lot of attention to the guitar players. But I was just listening to kind of everybody and kind of mostly focusing on horn players. And George Benson played. He played in a group with, Stanley Turrentine was in the group, Herbie Hancock, and just all these wonderful players. It was maybe a couple of years later that I actually started playing guitar myself, that I started to really key in on what George Benson was doing. In the beginning, I was more of a rock and blues player. And George Benson was this phenomenal jazz player who always still had this roots in the blues. Like everything that he does still has this really powerful blues element to it, and so it was accessible to me right away, and yet it was so sophisticated and so colorful. It's like the notes that he chooses, it's like psychedelic or something. I don't know how else to explain it. It's just he hears these colors of the guitar, and it's like he's found something in the guitar that was always there, but for some reason nobody else really pulled it out like he did. Maybe you can hear a Wes Montgomery as an influence. There's some element of it there, but in a way, George Benson took certain elements of that sound to another level. Forward to when I was maybe like around 12 is when I first really started to pay more attention to George Benson. And he was doing all this stuff that I didn't understand. And I had a 33 LP. And in those days, you could still find a turntable that would go at 16, you know. So I'd slow it down to half speed and I could kind of figure out some of the stuff that he was doing. But even when I could figure it out, I always wondered, well, why is it that when I play it, it doesn't sound the same, you know, as when he plays it? Because it's not just his lines, but it's his time, it's his energy. There's a whole thing about his concept. There's something about him that kind of reminds me of Jimi Hendrix, in the sense that you have a lot of imitators, a lot of people who've taken elements of his style, but yet none of them really quite sound like him. And you've got people who've mastered different elements of his style, but as a complete package, there's still no one else like. Another thing is that he is an incredibly precise player. There's not a lot of wasted effort. He goes right to the idea, and it's very clear and it's very solid. I think maybe a little bit more musically precise way to put it is that his melodies are very melodic. Like even when he's playing at a very high tempo, at a very high rate of speed in his lines, it's still very melodic. A lot of players can't do that. When they start playing fast, it just kind of sounds like a wash kind of a thing, you know? And so clearly his mind is going at that speed too. His mind is right with his fingers. He's not kind of wiggling his fingers around into and finding the spots. He's really thinking and he's creating musically even at a high velocity. Traditionally in jazz, what guitarists would do is when they had their turn to solo, they would only play one note at a time. And then when Wes Montgomery came along, he developed this technique of octaves where you've got two notes, there's a high and the low, and he's playing them both at the same time. And that created this really thick, wonderful, really rich sound. It's warm and it's bright at the same time. And then so then what George did is he took those octaves and he filled in a third note in between. And so it's kind of like a little mini chord, but he's using those chords to play melodies. Like normally when players played chord melodies, we think of people like Joe Pass, who also was a big influence of mine. But Joe Pass's approach was usually more thick. It was more oriented towards the chord. And then he'd put little melodies in between. Whereas George's approach was more oriented towards the line, towards the melody, making a fat line by kind of making the notes, each note is like a chord in itself. He uses that technique really prominently on Breeze, and that's one of the best examples I can think of. A lot of the power of his sound comes from his sense of time. He's got a really deep sense of time. And what he does a lot of times is that he drives the groove. So in other words, instead of kind of sitting on top of the drums and bass and letting them establish the groove, he's in there, even though he's playing the line on top of it, he's still pushing the groove just as much as the bass and drums. I was good friends with the guitarist Emily Rembler. And at one point we were talking about George Benson. She was saying that they sat down together and did some playing because she got a chance to kind of audition for him a little bit. And he gave her some advice. And one of the things that he particularly said that he liked about her playing was her sense of time. And so that kind of keyed me in on how that is such an important element to him. A good example of this is when he did Take Five on the Bad Benson album. George Benson was definitely a source of inspiration for me. As I started to understand music deeper and deeper, I started to be able to pick out some of the things that he was doing that I especially liked. For example, his arpeggios. Because you have a lot of guitar players who tend to play notes really close together. And so you get these really thick, heavy kind of lines out of the guitar. But once you open it up and you space the notes out a little bit more, each note has a little bit more opportunity to sort of ring out even after you've moved on to the next note. And so it's like leaving a sort of a trail of color. And so I started to understand that by using more arpeggios and opening up my lines, I could get more of that kind of sound. Well, what I've done in some cases is I've actually taken that even a step further, because the touch technique that I developed makes it real easy for me to jump really far from string to string. And so I can play lines with an even wider spacing. And so that's kind of part of the personality of my own sound that I've developed. Hearing George keyed me in that direction.
This has been a Jazz Online original podcast.